Welcome if you're here. Welcome if you're watching us online. So good to have you in the house of God. You are so welcome here. You know, we say welcome to God's house, God's home, welcome to the City Light Church family. Now, if you're someone, you're here and you're looking for a church family to belong to, we'd love you to be a part of our family. We always say the bigger the family, the better, right?
Yeah.
Amen. The more the better. So good to have you here today. You know, we're well into, we're like 1/24th of the way into the year already. Time travels so quickly, doesn't it? And, you know, time is the most precious commodity that we have. So we're going to talk a little bit about the time coming up in the next year. We're into a series that I believe will minister to you. It's all about encountering God. And boy, do we ever need to have encounters with God. God wants to be so real to us, but he can't be unless we are experiencing him in a fresh new way, in the various ways, like through prayer or through the Word of God, through fellowship, being together. There's different ways that we can encounter God. And there's just this thing called the move of God, the Holy Spirit, just coming upon his people supernaturally at time, invited, of course, because the people are hungry and ready, but God's ready to come and to meet you today, whatever your need may be. Amen? So thank you for joining us here today. You are so welcome here. And, we believe in connecting with God and connecting with God's people. One way to connect with God is to connect with God's people, because we're his body, right? And so we believe strongly in relationships that go deeper than just the Sunday morning. And that's why we strongly believe that we need to be in gathered into small groups that are authentic relations where you can be really honest and really gutfully tell the truth about your life and not be afraid that it's broadcasted, but that it's held in there and that you could pray for one another. And the powerful prayer of agreement between two or three does miracles in your life. It releases God's provision, God's answer into your life. And that happens so much in the realm of friendships, relationships, and small groups. And City Lights Church is a small groups a church. We believe in the New Testament form, and they had small groups. So we invite you to go deeper than just a Sunday morning experience, but really experience God's presence, God's power through God's people. Amen? And there are all kinds of ministries that we have happening. We're the new ministries that are starting up because there's a whole bunch of needs out there, and we are the hands and the heart of God to reach our community, right? And so, it's not just me up here or a few of us. It's you. You become a part of our team, and that's why we need you so much to be a part of our house. Amen? Got a little different voice. Did you hear that little echo? Anyway, I heard it. I hope it's okay, yeah. All right, so let's talk about an encounter. And this week, I've got a message titled, Seizing the Year Ahead. Seizing the coming year. It's almost like my first message of the year, but I believe this is a word that I really strongly need to preach because I think God's people need to hear it. Bow your heads, close your eyes, let's ask the Lord to bless this word. Father, thank you. For every single person gathered here, I thank you for the praise and worship in the house this morning that plowed the heart, that prepares the ground for us to hear the word of God. Let it truly be planted in good soil, good hearts this morning. Help us to hear the message carefully and then take the faith that we have to apply it and put it into action for our benefit and for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now I think that we'd all agree that 2022 was kind of a tough year. And if we think back at some of the things we experienced, the threat of a major war, Russia, Ukraine, trying to draw in all kinds of other nations, you know, a real threat to our world. We think about the tumbling stock market. We think about the ever-widening political divide. We think about the things that we hear on the news, and we've gotten a sense that what's been developing is a sense of media distrust. And we've had things like happening government distrust. We've heard propaganda, a lot of lies, and a lot of fear-mongering going on, and it's just a lot of chaos. And we have to wonder if 2023 is going to be more of the same. You have to wonder, right? You know, I had a pastor friend of mine, exclamation mark by God, and he was sharing with me a little what he wanted to preach. This is like a couple of weeks ago. He said, I want to talk about expectations, but, you know, in my message, but with all that's going on, he said, I don't want to lift their expectations too high. But my response is this, you know what? I believe the best is yet to come. Yeah. Best is yet to come. And I believe that God wants to encourage us and to challenge us about the year ahead of us, though difficult, that God wants to do much in us and much through us to change the world around us and not the other way around. Amen? Key scripture, it's coming out all the time, all over the place, is this scripture in Isaiah chapter 43:18, where God says to the people, to his people, forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert, streams in the wasteland. I looked up that word perceive in that verse. Perceive is the Greek word katalambano, which means to comprehend, to apprehend, to lay hold of. The coming year, this coming year, has the potential to be a great and a prosperous year for the kingdom of God and for the church and for you. I believe that this year is packed with the promises and the potentials of God. God has not said, you know, I think I need to cut back on some of the promises that, you know, I don't think you can believe in some of the... God never said that. I believe that this year we are going to see a move of God, and it's almost a sovereign move of God in our world, in our nation, and we're going to see it right here in the church. And I don't know how that's going to look like, but I know it's going to happen. And I believe, like I said, the best is yet to come. But listen, are you ready for it? Are you ready to lay hold of it? Are you apprehending it? Right? Or do you comprehend it? Right? To see the goodness of God in the coming year, we have to do. I'm going to give you three simple things, an acronym. First, you've got to see it. Then you've got to say it. And then you've got to seize it. First thing you've got to do is you've got to see. You've got to have the right year about your right view of your future. Right. Question on your PowerPoint. Will perception determine your reception? Does it? You bet it does. The best example for me to show that to you, to explain that to you about how vital, how important your vision, your view of your future is found in the book of, in the Old Testament book of Numbers chapter 13. I preached from this before. You've probably even heard it. But I want to pound it back into you again, okay? Okay, so here we are in this situation, Numbers 13. For 40 years, God's people have been wandering in the desert. They have just come out of bondage under Egypt. For 400 years, all those generations were living as slaves in Egypt. They cried out to God. God heard them, brought them out of Egypt, got Moses to do some miracles to bring them out of that place. It was a land of not enough, amen? So he takes them into the desert. For 40 years, they kept wandering around and around, and they ate the same food every day, manna in the morning, manna in the evening, manna at supper time, manna, manna, manna. And every day, they put on the same shirt or the same pair of sneakers. Every day, not every week, every day, every year, not just for 1 year, 2 years, over 40 years. Imagining wearing a pair of Nike sneakers for 40 years, putting on the same shirt. What color would it end up being after 40 years, right? How drab, how boring. I always said my wife would never survive in that desert. It takes more than one pair of shoes to make a woman, right? Anyway, she's going to get mad at me there. Wow, you know, but here's this example. They're standing, literally standing at the edge of the desert, and they're facing the promised land, and it is an incredible, mouth-watering place, an awesome place, incredible place. So Moses sends out 12 men to explore, a reconnaissance party, to see what Canaan, the promised land, was going to be like. And here's the report on their exploration. Numbers 13 says, they gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there, the Amalekites. You know what the Amalekites were? They had a reputation. They got attacked in the desert by the Amalekites. They were a vicious, murderous group of people who took pleasure in sport and just killing people. And here they said, the Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan. He says, they said, they're everywhere. They're like everywhere. And what they were saying is, what we see paralyzes us. What we see pacifies us. See, we too can have one of two views. You can either have a view of fear or what? Faith. Yeah, faith. Fear or faith. 2023 is the promised land that stands before you and me today. It stands before us today. So question, what do you see in the coming year? What do you envision? Okay? The majority of people see the adversities and not the opportunities. And I want to tell you, 2023 is both, right? Listen to this. Statistics show that only 10% of us actually succeed in what we set out to accomplish. The other 10% accept defeat, and they will end up turning to drugs, alcohol, and even suicide to deal with the despair. And the other 80%, you know what they do? They simply endure. I want to tell you, God's will is not that we should simply endure to live quiet lives of desperation. God's will for you and I is life, and life abundantly. Amen? God's will is that you and I dream dreams and that we see those dreams accomplished and achieved. Bill Hybels, who is a great Christian leader author, said these words, vision is a picture of the future which produces passion. You should get excited about the future, not withdraw, cut back, and being set back by the future, but excited, passionate about the future. God wants us to be passionate about the future, not pessimistic, right? We are to have a pioneering spirit, because we have never gone that, we need to go where we've never gone before. Have we gone into 2023, past today? No. This is uncharted territory. God wants you and I to have a visionary, pioneering spirit. I'll tell you a story. About 400 years ago, a shipload of people, travelers, landed on the northeast coast of the North American continent. The first year, they established a town site. The next year, they elected a town government. The third year, the town government planned to build a road 5 miles off that coast westward into the wilderness. In the fourth year, the people tried to impeach their town government because they thought it was a waste of public funds to build a road 5 miles westward into a wilderness. Who needed to go there anyway? So, what we have here are people who had the vision to see 3,000 miles across an ocean, go through great difficulty, to get there, but in just a few years, they were not able to see 5 miles westward from where they were from that town. Right? So, here's the moral. Without vision, we get stuck in the same old, right? Without vision, we will rarely move beyond our current boundaries. You will just stay in that place where you are. It'll be just like last year or the year before or the year before that. I want to tell you, I'm older than a lot of you guys, but I tell you, I still have vision. I think I've got more vision than most of you guys have. Prove me wrong. I still have a vision. I still have a vision to see my body healed of some autoimmune issues. I have a vision to see my finances come to a place where I'm blessed, so blessed that I just give to bless other people, that I use it to bless other people. I have a vision to see my unsaved family, my brothers and my sister come to Christ, my unsaved friends. My heart goes out to them. I have a vision to see them come to Christ. I have a vision to see God use my gifts, talents, and abilities to supernaturally flow through me to really minister to someone. Amen? I have a vision to see Lethbridge come to Christ. I have a vision to see this church full of new people. I have a vision to see us going to 2 or 3 services if we need to. Amen? I will work for the harvest. Hopefully you will too. Amen? God's looking for people to use and to have a vision for his harvest, for his end time plan. God wants to use you. I have a vision to see this church full of people because every person needs Jesus. Every person needs a home to belong to. Amen? I have a vision to see the knowledge of the glory of the Lord cover this earth as the waters cover the sea. What's your vision? Amen? What's your vision? Maybe the question is, what's your vision of God? Maybe that's a better question. What's your vision of God? The question is God a big God to you, or is God a little God? Now, I'll show you about our grandkids. When our grandkids were quite small, do you recognize that person up there? Karen didn't know that was going to be up there. See, when our grandkids were really small, we used to have to babysit them. We took care of our grandkids. And we used to get our exercise by going down to the river bottom in Lethbridge here, and right near that train bridge, and there was a set of stairs. Many of you are familiar with them. Some of you have walked up those stairs. That's quite a bit of exercise. Just going up there once, but Karen and I used to do that about 5 or 6 times. We just built ourselves up. But we'd have to take our grandkids with us because we didn't want to leave them in the car, so we'd have to take them up that first set of stairs, and then let them play in that carousel at the top of the hill. Then we'd just go up and down. We'd just get to watch over them. Well, I would take hold of my little granddaughter, Leighton's hand, and I would grab her hand, and as we were, it was hard for her, and as we would grab, as we would step out, I would say to her, Leighton, she says, are you a little big girl or are you a big little girl? And she kind of, and I looked down there, I could tell she was thinking. She said, I'm a big little girl. And every time we did this, she said the same thing. I'm a big little girl. And I would say to her, and yeah, girl, you are strong. And she said, yeah, I'm strong. She wasn't 5 years old. But we want our kids to know that how they think of themselves really matters, right? We don't want them to think that they're weak, insignificant, or they're small. We want them to think that they are so big, right? And we want them to think that their God is so big. Remember that song we used to teach our kids, right? We used to go through the actions. We say, our God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do, right? The mountains are his, the valleys are his, the stars are his handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. You're grown up now. I'm going to, what's your view of God? How big is Jesus in your life? How big is he? Because here, because this is so important on your PowerPoint. The way that we live, the way we live is the consequence of the size of our God. I think the primary problem in our lives is you and I were not fully convinced that we are absolutely safe in the hands of a fully competent, all-knowing, ever-present, utterly loving, infinitely loving, big, big God. Amen? And I think sometimes the problem with us as believers, we have a shrunken view of God. We somehow, through the circumstances of life and some of the things that we experience in life, our view of God begins to shrink. We end up with a shrunken view of God. And if you and I wake up in the morning with a shrunken view of God and we go through a day with that attitude, then there are some consequences. Here's some things that are going to happen. If I have a shrunken view of God, then I will live in a constant state of fear and worry because everything depends on me. Is that right? If I have a shrunken God, then I will not find it natural to pray when a need comes up in my life, because I'm not really sure that God makes a difference and that prayer really matters, right? If I have a shrunken view of God, I become a slave to whatever other people think about me, because I don't live in the security of knowing that I have a big God who accepts me totally. Amen? That's what happens. When we shrink God, this is what happens. We will pray without faith. We will worship without awe. We will serve God without joy. And we will suffer without hope. Amen? And the result of it is that we will end up living a life of stagnation, fear, loss of vision, the inability to persevere and just to work things out in life. We'll lose all of that. You know, and Scripture, the Bible is so good because the Scripture is constantly telling us that we do not live with a small tribal God. Whatever we need, God is bigger. Whatever our weakness, God is stronger. Amen? So the question is, what do you see? It's important. 2023, what do you see? Do you see 2023 and do you see him? We've got to see it and we've got to see him, or we'll end up giving up the chase and we'll just go back to enduring, quiet, desperate lives, right? Frustrated lives. So, first thing you got to do, you got to say it. Secondly, you got to see it. Say it. Getting all mixed up. First, you got to see it, and then you got to what? Say it, right? Declaration is powerful. Declaration is powerful. Declare the promises of God over every situation in your life. For every problem, there is a promise. Maybe 10 promises for every problem that you have in the Bible, right? I say every decision, every destiny that will be fulfilled starts with a clear and a passionate declaration before witnesses. And we see this in Numbers chapter 13. 12 men saw the same promised land, but they had two different views and two different declarations. First declaration, Caleb's declaration, Numbers 13:30. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses because they were whining, they were complaining, it was too hard, there's giants there, well, we can't do this, why are they going to make... He said, shut up. Literally was saying, he told them to shut up, right? And he said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. You know that word, I love this Caleb translation, and I heard this before. Caleb means dog. Dog. What does a dog dream about? Red meat, right? There was a story recently about a dog who went shoplifting. and he went into the local supermarket, and he was a dog on a mission. He knew what he wanted. It wasn't to use the potty. No, he went right to the red meat, grabbed the big steak. The clerk saw him, told him to drop it, try to grab it. He wouldn't let go, ran out the door. He got his prize. Nike, just do it. Right? That's his name, nickname. Maybe not. But second view, majority, second declaration, the majority's declaration, Numbers 13, 31, 33. But the man who had gone up with him said, with Caleb, said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report. Mainstream media. Bad report about the land they had explored. And they said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there were of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we looked the same to him, to them." See, both spoke what they saw. Both spoke what they saw. You will speak what you see, right? So will you. You will speak what you see, and you will prophesy your destiny. Every decision begins with a declaration. Declaration is powerful, especially if it's spoken with faith and passion. But conversely, a negative declaration can be just as powerful, right? Joshua chapter 14, 6 and 9. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Zephunah, were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes, and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid." A word for us today. Don't be afraid of the coming year. Don't be afraid of all the news that you hear. God is so much greater. God is in control. Amen? Here's an equation. No faith, no vision. Faith and vision are the same thing. No faith, no vision equals no promised land. And we see that in Numbers 14, 36. So the men Moses had sent to explore the land, who returned and made the whole community grumble against him by spreading a bad report about it, those men responsible for spreading the bad report about the land were struck down and died of a plague before the Lord. Wow. Thank God for the grace of God today. Of the men who went to explore the land, only Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Zephunah, survived. Only two in that first generation. But they had to wait another 40 years before they stood before that promised land again and went in. Numbers 32, 11 and 12. And God says, "Because they have not obeyed me wholeheartedly, not one of the men 20 years old or more who came out of Egypt will see the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not one except Caleb, son of Zephunah, the Kenzanite, and Joshua, son of Nun, for they followed the Lord wholeheartedly." Listen, you can be 20 years old and have no vision, right? You can be 50, you can be 85 and be filled with vision. Be filled with vision. Right? This is not a time to be thinking about setback, cutback, layoff. This is a time when we advance, right? This is a time we take new territory for Jesus. Reach souls for Christ. Make disciples of them, right? You know, advance the kingdom of God. So, to break through into new opportunities, I say set your sights on the promises of God. Read God's word. As you read God's word, you'll see all these promises come up. God's word is literally filled with the promises of God. I just read part of this book. This author said, there are over 1,700 promises of God. I don't think we need, I know maybe about 30 of them, but there are, the rest of them, I need to go through the word myself. So, as you read the word of God, as you read these Bible verses about the promises of God, here's three things that we could do. Okay, number one, claim the promises of God over your life. Claim them. Claim freedom. Here, claim freedom from addiction, deliverance from sin and evil, financial provision, hope for the lost family and friends. Claim overcoming depression, recovering your marriage, good health, being free from fear and anxiety, and many more blessings and gifts that God wants to give to those who really, truly believe in Him. Amen? So claim those scriptures. Claim all these good things that you want to see in your life and just give them up to God. Tell God. Second thing, pray over and memorize those scriptures that pertain to the promise that you want in your life. Amen? Pray over them and memorize them and speak and God's help in overcoming whatever you're facing today. Number three, speak them out. Speak them out loud and passionately. It's like lifting up a sword before the devil, right? And begin. You will begin to see the hand of God move in your life for His glory and for your good. Amen? Because I believe His word is faithful and His word is true. It never comes back void. It always produces. The word is powerful. It produces for us. When we declare it with faith, we believe it. Declare it with faith and passion. Amen? First, you've got to see it. Then you've got to say it. And number three, last one, you've got to seize it. Seize what God has for you in the coming year. Micah 2:13, the one who breaks open the way will go up before them. They will break out through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head. Saying, literally, Jesus is going to give, if you follow Jesus, hang on to Him as tight as you can, as close as you can, because He's literally the breaker God who breaks through all the obstacles that you want Him to break through. And I think one of the, I'm going ahead of myself, two parts to every spiritual breakthrough. Number one, on your part point, first thing we got to do, if you want a breakthrough in your life, and I want a breakthrough, I want several breakthroughs, the first thing you got to do is to remove long-standing obstacles. Nothing, and I want to say this, nothing allows you to break through long-standing obstacles better and more powerfully than fasting and prayer. Prayer and fasting. This is the year. You want breakthroughs? You got to get close to God. Talk to Him through prayer and get close to Him when you can. You know? So, first thing we've got to do is remove long-standing obstacles. Obstacles to breakthrough could be things in your mind, your emotions, imaginations, things that don't really exist, but they still bind you up. Or there could be things like a lack of discipline. You're not reading the Word. You're not praying. You're not living in the principles of God. You know, Jesus came, literally, He came to announce the fact that He's come to set His people free. The year of the Lord's favor. Break us out of the prisons. All the things that bind us up, spiritual lethargy, unbelief, hopelessness in your family, hopelessness in your finances. He came to break off things like powerful things that are not so powerful. When the word of God comes, is addictions. Addictions can be broken. Spiritual blindness, dullness of mind and spirit. He can break all these things off us. Things that don't allow us to go through the gates, believe that God can break through them. That's the first part. Work on removing them. The obstacle, second part, is this, of a breakthrough, is to advance. It means to move forward, is to do something into a new life, into the new opportunities that God has for you, and to a fresh new anointing from God. Every year, you know, we get weak, and we need God's strength. And Holy Spirit, it's not by might, nor by power, but it's by Holy Spirit. A fresh new anointing. For every season, there's a new anointing. But you got to be hungry, say, and you got to ask for it. And you got to position yourself in prayer and faith and say, God, I need your strength. Constantly, I always pray, fill me afresh, Holy Spirit. Every day, fill me. You know, and you know, I can't give anything to you except what God gives to me by the Spirit, out of my relationship with God. Amen? That's another message. So, second thing, we got to advance. Gates represent two things, opportunity and authority. Question, How many of you have actually felt kind of hopeless about the coming year? How many have actually, you don't have to lift your hand, but you kind of looked at it, looked at last year, looking at through the lens of last year, you're looking at into this new year, and you're kind of feeling hopeless, right? You're feeling like, you know, I'll never break out my financial situation. Or maybe I'll never get free of this physical disability in my body. Or maybe one of your kids has gone prodigal. Or whatever the situation. Maybe it's your marriage that's in trouble. But listen, it's not enough just to be concerned. You have to be committed to do something. And when you're willing to do something, you got to be willing. God will never do anything against your will. But if you're willing, God will do something. Amen? It's not enough to be concerned. You have to be committed. Committed to do something. Committed to act. Maybe you need counseling. We've got a great counseling ministry developing in the church. You know? But whatever it is, you move forward in your life. Amen? To fight the good fight of faith. To live by faith and not by sight. In other words, the third point is to seize what God has for you. To seize what God has for you will require something of you. Amen? And here are just two basic things. First of all, I wrote it out on your PowerPoint. It will require an infusion. Say with me, an infusion. Infusion of directed intentionality and effort. Let's say that again. What's it going to require? An infusion of directed intentionality and effort. Amen? Lean into it. Put your effort, put your faith into it, put your passion into it, put your prayers into it. Amen? Put your commitment into it. And then see what God will do. Not by might nor by power, but by His Holy Spirit. He'll give you the power too. Second thing is this. To seize what God has for us will require this year a radical commitment to follow Jesus. Radical commitment. Not half-hearted, not lukewarm. A radical, sold out, pick up your cross, follow Jesus type of commitment. Amen? And boy, you will see 23 break open for you with opportunities, blessings that you never experienced before in your life. It's a promise of God. He is the one who opens the way before you. Amen? I want to tell you a story. You might have heard the story, one of my favorite stories, but we have a few minutes. Here it goes. It's the story of the white rabbit. Okay, it goes this way. One day, a young disciple of Christ, who wanted to become everything God had in mind for him, visited the home of an elderly Christian, seeking his advice. He had heard that this old man never lost his love for Christ. In all the years he had known his Savior, he never lost his love for Christ. The old man smiled and replied, "Let me tell you a story. One day I was sitting here quietly in the sun with my dog. Suddenly, a large white rabbit ran across in front of us. Well, my dog jumped up, took after that big rabbit. He chased that rabbit over the hills with a passion. Soon the other dogs joined him, attracted by his barking. What a sight it was as that pack of dogs ran barking across the street, up across the creeks, up stony embankments, through thickets and thorns. But gradually, however, one by one, the other dogs dropped out of the pursuit, discouraged by the course, frustrated by the chase, until only my dog continued hotly pursuing that white rabbit. And then he said to that young man, "In that story, young man, is the answer to your question." The young man sat in confused silence. Finally, he said, "I don't understand. What is the connection between the rabbit chase and the quest for God?" "You fail to understand," answered the man, "because you fail to ask the obvious question. Why didn't the other dogs continue on the chase? And the answer to that question is that they were only joining the excitement of the group. They had not seen the rabbit. They had not seen the rabbit." He says, unless you have actually seen the rabbit, the chase is just too difficult. An encounter, you need to have a genuine encounter with Christ. you will lack the passion and determination necessary to keep up the chase. So that's our question. Have you seen the Lord? Have you seen Jesus? You know, and are you fixing your eyes on Jesus, who is the author, the beginner, and the finisher of your faith? Amen? I want to close with one scripture. Passion Version, Paul said these words, great words, Philippians chapter 3, 12 and 14. I admit, I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing, but I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me to make me his own. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus Christ. The power of his Spirit. Amen? I'm done. But can I challenge you? Let's be bold enough to say what we believe. And let's be committed enough to seize the promises and the blessings of God that he has for each and every one of us this year. Amen? If you agree with that, shout amen. 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 You know what I want to do is I want us, and you don't have to stand, but if you can and you want to, will you stand and pray? I want you to repeat. I want to make you, I want you and I to make this declaration for 2023. It's very short. It's very safe, but it's a good prayer. Okay? Remember how powerful declaration is before God. When you say it with faith and passion, powerful. Amen? Okay. Are you ready? You repeat loudly after me. Right? Ready? Lord Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, Holy Spirit, by faith, I declare that this is my year for breakthrough. By faith, I will break through into new opportunities and a new anointing. And by faith, I will break through into a new level of life, of living for Jesus, of joy and adventure. I see it, I say it, and I will seize it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Be seated for just a minute. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I want to say, if you're here, you never made a decision to accept this Jesus Christ who gives you life and that abundantly, who saves your souls, forgives your sin, grants you the gift of eternal life in heaven, gives you a reason and a significant purpose for living today, that today, right now, you can accept Jesus and receive all that he has. When you accept Christ into your life, it is the greatest decision you will ever make in your life. Romans chapter 10:10 says, for it is with your heart you believe and you're justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and you are saved. It's like the devil, the enemy doesn't want this, right? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen? You need to believe it, confess it, invite him in. So I'm going to lead you into prayer. If you want to receive Christ today, a new start in your life, you want to become born again by the Spirit of God, a new entity, a new being, a new revelation in your heart and your mind and your life, you can receive Christ today. But listen, I'm going to lead you in this prayer. But don't say this prayer unless you absolutely mean it with all your heart. Amen? If that's you, then bow your heads, close your eyes, repeat after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I confess that I am a sinner. I believe you died on the cross, and I believe you shed your blood to pay for my sins. Father God, please forgive me for every sin that I have committed. Today and now, Father, I'm asking you, please come into my heart and to be Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.